Chapter 16. Pat shivered. That wind sounds like a wild animal trying to get into the house. Pat Harris, secretary of the Goshen Cemetery Board and my mother's best friend, sat with Mom and me in front of our fireplace. The stack of logs blazed, but still the room seemed chilly. The north wind found every crack in our 100-year-old farmhouse. Mom pulled her green afghan around her shoulders. "We'll just have to make the best of the cold," Mom said. "It's winter. January days in Oklahoma are usually cold." She picked up the poker and jabbed the logs, sending sparks showering. Gray clouds seemed to almost touch the bare tops of trees. Truly, the sky seemed to be lowering. "The weatherman doesn't think more snow will get here until this afternoon," I said. Pat set her coffee cup on the floor and leaned back against her chair. "I'm hoping I'll have time to get home before the streets get slippery, but before I leave, I want to know what's going on with you two." Mom looked sharply at her old friend. "What do you mean? Is something going on?" Pat laughed. "Flora Tucker, you never could fool me, even when we were girls. Of course there's something going on. All of Levi knows about Cub finding that box, and everybody's guessing what's in it. I know deep in my bones that there's a whole lot more that you're not telling. I also know that some girl from out of town died at the hospital a couple of days ago, and the rumor is she was poisoned, so come clean now. Out with the story." Mom looked at me and gave a tiny shake of her head. While it was true that Pat was Mom's good friend, she loved to talk and sometimes without meaning to let something slip. I had known Pat all my life and was well acquainted with her kindness as well as her liking of a good piece of gossip. How much should we tell her so she would be satisfied that she was in our confidence? Pat crossed her legs and leaned forward, looking first at Mom, then me. I thought I could see her ears twitch. Mom fiddled with the fringe on her afghan. "I hope you understand, Pat, that we can't say too much about what Cub dug up. It was a parcel, I guess you'd say, and not a box. That's just the tale that's making the rounds. I don't know how the box thing got started. We've told Grant all about it, and also Jackson Connor. We're going to let them take care of it." Jethro rubbed against Pat's leg. She reached down and scooped him onto her lap. "Well, fiddlesticks, I don't see why you can't tell me, or at least let me see that confounded parcel or whatever it is." "We don't have it at the moment," I said. "We don't know who has it." Pat's mouth dropped open. "You mean it was stolen?" Mom nodded. "Well, what a muddle. So that mysterious thing is important enough to somebody that they risked thievery."
"Afraid so," I agreed.
"Pat," Mom said, "your family has lived in Levi a long time, probably as long as mine has. Do you remember hearing your parents or grandparents talk about what went on here in Ventress County during the time of World War I? Pat wrinkled her forehead and tugged at her earlobe. "I'd have to spend some time thinking about that. It was a lot of years ago, and of course most of the old folks who would know are already dead and gone. I guess about the oldest ones in this area are the Jenkins twins. From what my mama told me, their father was a judge in the early 1900s, a real strict, stern person. He was responsible for sending several men to the gallows. I remember hearing Mama say that Miss Georgia and Miss Carolina are so straight-laced because that's the way they were raised." Mom went to the wood basket and pitched another log on the fire. "Yes, I've been to see the Jenkins sisters. They were friendly enough, but they were closed-mouthed about giving out answers to any questions. That's just their old-timey way. What about that girl who died? Somebody said Darcy was right there when she was stricken, or whatever happened to her." I squirmed in my chair. The investigation into Eileen's death might involve me if I were called upon to testify. That whole episode of possible poisoning sounded fantastic, even to me. I could only imagine how a coroner's jury might perceive it. "I don't know what happened to Eileen," I said. "Yes, I was there when she started feeling bad, but no decision has been reached in the cause of her death. Hopefully the whole sad thing will be straightened out before long." Pat glanced at the clock.
If you're going to be so close-lipped about everything, I might as well go. Jasper will be in for lunch. Honestly, I don't see how that boy stays out in this weather. You know, I believe he'd rather roam through the woods than be in a warm house. Just between us, I'm kind of worried about him. He's always liked secrets, but he has been real quiet lately, and I wonder what he's up to. Jasper is a good boy, Pat, Mom said as we all stood up. He may not do everything the way other people do, but he means well. Sure, I know that. I just wish he'd talk to me. Pat started toward the door and then turned to Mom with a grin. By the way, was that you and Jackson Connor I saw at the new restaurant the other night? Mom sniffed. Could have been. I retrieved Pat's coat from the hallway. Mom and I walked with her to the front door. After she left, I turned to my mother. We sure didn't get any help from her, did we? Pat doesn't know anything about our dilemma, Darcy. She'd be willing to help if she could. Somebody in this town knows some answers, but I sure as the world don't know who. I just know it isn't Pat.